Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Eli James, along here with Pastor Steve, and this is Yahweh's Covenant People for August 26, 2016. And we're going to continue on a theme, although it's going to be a new series. It's Yahweh's Passover Fulfilled, Part 1. And the reason why we've been doing all of these studies on the exact times and dates of the feast days, and we've been doing the study on Passover, is because in the Old Testament and the fulfillment of the Yahshua's Passover in the New Testament, the requirements were very exacting, very strict, to the letter. And it had to be that way. The sacrificial animals had to be males, unblemished males, all symbolizing the sinlessness of Yahshua Messiah. And the typology was followed to the letter by the priesthood, and therefore, if it was followed to the letter by the priesthood, it would have had to have been followed to the letter by Yahshua himself. Wouldn't you agree, Pastor Steve?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. There's no doubt these offshoots of churches all seem to have their own favorite little doctrine,
right?
And none of them are right. They're all just
they're
going way out in left field on so much stuff here, and they have days of difference,
right?
Not just hours. We're talking different days entirely.
Yes,
and it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
we've got to go by the scripture, not by church doctrine.
The church tradition.
Church doctrine has been shown so many times to be in error, and they go off from the scripture and knowingly put this stuff out.
On tangents.
It's nonsense.
Yes,
it's utter nonsense.
Yes. But just to complete what we had done the last 2 weeks, because we found more compelling evidence to prove that the Hebrew day begins at sunset, not at noon, not in at sunrise, but at sunset. And this comes from Josephus.
Let me read this here.
Go ahead.
This is Josephus from the Jewish War, Book 4, Chapter 9, 12. And it's talking about when they had a battle and all that stuff, but this is the pertinent part. 582, and the last was erected above the top of the Pastophoria. They're talking about large towers for throwing darts or javelin with feathers on it, like a great big dart.
Right.
Well, they were a spear with feathers to guide them, and so they would be accurate.
Okay.
And they made these towers, and the last was erected above the top of the Pastophoria, where one of the priests stood, of course, in the course of the day, and gave a signal beforehand. And here comes the pertinent part. With a trumpet at the beginning of every seventh day, that means when the day began,
right?
Continuing on, in the evening twilight, as also at the evening when that day was finished, as giving notice to the people when they were to leave off work and when they were to go to work again.
Okay.
The day ended at evening, and immediately
the new day.
The next second, it began the next day.
Right. Okay.
I mean, you just don't get any clearer than that.
Right. And we also referenced in the Old Testament that the shadows were getting long, in the evening, and they don't get long at noon. It doesn't take 6 hours for the shadows to grow long, right? So we have abundant evidence that the Hebrew day begins at sunset and at no other time. Okay.
And then the next day immediately begins.
Exactly.
When it ends, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and beginning.
Yeah. And so to get this, we have to get this chronology right to get the timing of the Passover. And we're not going to talk about it today, but we'll, you know, mention the comparison of Jonah and Jonah being swallowed by a whale. You know, so that also symbolizes that episode was begun at darkness. And Yahshua's time of his actual passion began at night when he was arrested. You know, he got the kiss on the cheek by Judas. That began in darkness, okay? So the typology of the dark preceding the light is maintained by all of the symbolism and by the actual Hebrew day chronology, okay? But I want to go to an article from the Hope of Israel, and this is Nisan Passover Fact or Fallacy from Hope of Israel Ministries, which is an offshoot of the Herbert W. Armstrong Worldwide Church of God, okay, which were they were British Israel, okay, they're an offshoot of British Israel. So they have a very often a more sophisticated and often more accurate view of biblical fact and history than the modern churches do. They're definitely superior in terms of biblical history to the modern churches. But still, they have their own problems, which Herbert W. Armstrong and British Israel bring to the table as well. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and start reading. Again, this is www.hopeofisrael.org/Nisan14p.htm. And one of the few, the interesting thing about most of these commentators, be they Jewish, Orthodox, by Orthodox I mean Eastern Orthodox, the Byzantium Church, not necessarily Western Orthodoxy, the Roman tradition and the Lutheran tradition, Protestant tradition, is none of them really pay much attention to the actual Word of God, Word of Yahweh, as contained in Leviticus 23. Okay. All right, I'm hearing myself in the background there. Okay.
No, I turned it up to make sure that we were on all
right. Okay, yes. Okay, and so I'm just going to read this, and we need to criticize this, although it's basically a very good article. There are some problems that we need to cover and to help explain what's going on. Okay, so opening paragraph here. Many churches which came out of Worldwide Church of God keep Passover on the same day. They always did. When back in Worldwide, it is hard because that has split up and become a bunch of offshoot churches. It is hard for people to admit error and to change. It is simpler to just go along with the old way. But what if it is proven wrong? The incredible lengths to which some ministers will go to justify entrenched error boggles the mind. Tell us about it.
Well, they don't want to rock that boat.
Yeah,
that
right.
That money-making boat, okay?
Yeah, that's right. There you go. Truly, as Adolf Hitler said, if you tell a lie big enough and often enough, most people will believe it. Of course, Adolf Hitler was referring to Jewish lies when he said that. How few are really willing to dig in and prove the basis and foundation of their belief and practice. And that is true. People, once they get their feet set in the concrete of tradition, it's very difficult for them. They're going to sink or swim with their feet in that concrete.
They are herd animals.
Right.
And they don't want to interfere with anything in the herd. They are secure. Even in lies, they're secure.
Yes.
And they'd rather be secure in a lie than insecure in the truth.
Yes. Now, the next paragraph is very important. Strangely enough, all of us do believe one thing, that is, that proper Passover observance is very important. In fact, yes. It is vital to your salvation to observe this holy festival on the wrong day is disobedience to the plain commandment of Yahweh God, an example of Yahshua the Messiah. Therefore, it is imperative that we resolve this question in our minds honestly and faithfully once and for all, and not just trust the opinions of mere men or religious leaders who have their own axe to grind and may be guilty of merely coveting a following and their financial support or their tradition.
Surely not.
Yeah, no, that doesn't happen in Christianity. Many people assume that in Yeshua's day, two Passovers were kept. And I'm one of those who agrees with that statement. There was more. There might have been even
three.
There may have been three or four, because there were at least three calendars in operation, if not four. One by Yeshua and his disciples and others at the beginning of Nisan 14, and Nisan would be the Babylonian word for Abib. The Hebrew Abib is the Babylonian Nisan. And the other by the majority of Jews who killed the Passover lambs in the afternoon of Nisan 14 and celebrated the feast in the early hours of Nisan 15. But is this assumption true? Is there any historical basis for a Nisan 14 Passover with the lambs being killed right after sunset and then eaten during the early hours of the 14th? How does we look at in history for any evidence of Jews observing a Passover at the beginning of Nisan 14, we come up empty. There is simply no historical evidence for such a thing. There is only the loud shouting of a few who insist that since the Bible often says the Passover is on Nisan 14, it had to all be on that day, both the killing of the lambs and the eating of the Passover. However, that belief is pure assumption and has no basis in fact or history. Now, let me put it this way. Virtually all of these commentators are overlooking is the preparation day, which is Nisan 13 or Abib 13. Because according to the scriptures, the Passover day is Abib 14. Let me quote it from Leviticus. Let me start with verse 4. These are the feasts of Yahweh, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. Verse 5. In the 14th day of the first month at evening, which is sunset, is Yahweh's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto Yahweh. 7 days you must eat. So the Passover is day 14. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is day 15. And there's also day 16. And verse 11. Let me go to verse 10. Speak to the
Give
children.
The chapter.
Chapter
are you in?
Leviticus 23.
23, okay. Yeah. That's what people needed to hear.
Okay, I thought I said that.
No, you just said the verse.
Okay. And speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have come into the lands which I give you and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before Yahweh to be accepted for you on the next day after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day when you wave the sheaf a he-lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto Yahweh. So, Passover is Abib 14. The Sabbath is Abib 15. And wave sheaf is Abib 16. Bang, bang, bang. Three consecutive days.
High holy days.
Pastor Steve, no modern churches practice this. They don't. None of them practice the consecutive days. None of them.
No, they don't.
No. And even the Catholic Church, which makes an attempt to, But what they go, the Catholic Church goes by a full moon after the spring equinox, which can't possibly be a biblical calendar. So every single tradition we're aware of, except the solar calendar that we've been trying to teach here at Eurofolk Radio, follows this consecutive 14, 15, 16 commands here in Leviticus 23. I mean, what are we supposed to do? You know, we're trying our best to follow the scriptures to the letter, because obviously the priests followed the scriptures to the letter, and Yahshua's Passover had to be, therefore, according to the letter of the law. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, these laws have never been set aside.
No.
They're too busy in Judeo-Christianity celebrating Ishtar Sunday for the goddess of fertility, although they don't know that.
Right.
They have all the symbols of fertility, the Easter eggs and the bunnies and all of that.
Chocolate.
That's fertility.
Right.
On the roof of the building, they have what they call a steeple. That is an Egyptian sun pillar for the worship of the sun god Mithra.
Right. Right.
Now, who was Ishtar, after which they named Easter? She was the mother of and the lover of, the consort of, Mithra.
Mithra.
Okay. And that's one of the solstices, and they had the big orgy after that. This was always a sexual celebration.
Right.
It is a pagan day. You cannot Christianize pagan days. Yahweh won't accept it.
Is this
you
where we get?
Don't celebrate Ishtar Sunday.
No,
you celebrate
absolutely
the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread.
Yeah.
That is a commanded
right
feast, not
right
a suggestion. Oh, I would really like if you did this, or it might be nice.
Right. But
you shall.
Yeah. As you're speaking, I'm reminded of Mardi Gras.
Oh, no.
Which the Catholic Church does not condemn.
Well, they don't condemn any of it.
Yeah. And that's like supposedly what they call Lent. But why in the world are people engaging in sexual revelry of Mardi Gras in Catholic society? What's up with that? Isn't this the same revelry that you're just talking about?
I'm into the Book of Numbers. My Book of Numbers will start on September the 1st on my Word to Word show.
Okay.
But I'm into the Book of Numbers, and I'm saying, you know, it says you won't sacrifice goat demons anymore. Well, the word is Sair.
Mm.
And they translated that to Saturday.
Right.
And the day of the week is called Saturn's Day. Now, we're not supposed to have any of these names of the pagan gods.
Right.
We're not supposed to mention them. But you have Sunday for the sun god.
Right.
You have Monday, which is Moon's Day.
That's
for the
right
moon.
Right? That's right.
You have Tuesday, which is Taya's Day, one of the pagan goddesses.
Right, right.
You have Wednesday, which is Woden's Day
right
for the pagan god Odin.
Well, we're just pagan through
and through. King.
Right.
Then
right
you have Thursday, which is Thor's Day
right
for the pagan god Thor. And you have Friday for Freya's Day, another pagan
goddess.
God. And then you have Saturn's Day, or if you were a Roman, Saturn's Day, because they worshipped
right
the planet Saturn.
Yes.
You've got pagan, 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 all over pagan.
Yes.
Pagan in the morning, pagan in the evening, right, pagan at supper time.
Well, that's what we've got. Pagan traditions being passed off as Christianity.
And
being passed off as biblical, and they're not. Absolutely not.
They're not. Absolutely not. Right. St. Valentine's Day.
Yeah, right.
If you read up on these, they call them holidays, but that would mean holy day. They are unholy
Yeah, it is definitely
days.
unholy.
How many people in the United States of America and
Right.
else celebrate All Souls Eve, better known as Halloween,
Yeah, right.
dressing up as demons?
Yes.
And we call ourselves a Christian nation. Oh, please give me a break.
Yeah, we have to understand that all of these pagan rituals have taken over Christianity.
And
Thanks.
they teach these in the
Yes,
churches.
they do.
They'll
Yes, they
have
do.
Halloween parties in Christian churches for the kids.
Right, and the Christian churches are getting more paganized by the day. They're inviting rabbis and voodoo practitioners and Hindus and imams and all sorts of people to non-Christian antichrists to preach in the Christian pulpit. That's what's going on in modern Christianity today, folks. All
Church, the
right? Okay.
universal church of what's happening
Yeah.
now.
So, in the interest of getting things right, right, and not practicing paganism, but practicing true Christianity, let's continue. The 14th of Nisan, or I guess some people pronounce it
Nissan.
Nisan. The 14th day of Nisan is the day, I guess the Japanese cars are named after Nisan, some kind of pagan god. The 14th of Nisan is the day when the Jews put leavening out. Well, actually, you should say, no, with the Israelites, that was done before Passover. Is that not correct?
They have to have a preparation day
Yes.
during the day of Pass before
Before Passover. Yes.
they have to
So.
get all the chometz, which means leavening in Hebrew,
Right.
out of the house.
Yes.
Toothpaste, anything with leaven in it.
That.
Whatever, I mean, there's many products with leaven in it,
Yeah,
not
okay.
just
Even
bread and crackers.
toothpaste? Even toothpaste? Boy, we got.
Toothpaste, yes.
Oh my goodness. I had
Oh
no
yeah, you
idea.
have to read the ingredients.
Okay, so
You
these.
can look that up on the internet, leaven products,
Wow.
and
Okay.
search it, and you will find it will
All
shock
right.
you. And
So
we are
here.
commanded, not suggested, we
Yes.
are commanded to get this out from our territory. Well, the only territory we control now is our own homes.
That's
So
right.
you clean all this stuff out and you throw it away. You,
Yeah.
if it's a brand new tube or a brand new loaf of bread, it
Yeah.
goes in the garbage.
Yeah, or give it to a
You are not to
Negro.
have that in your
All
home.
right. Well, now, of course,
You
now
clean
this.
your closets, you sweep out, you empty
Right.
your bread pan. You wash out, you unplug your toaster and wash it out and
Okay.
flush all the breadcrumbs down the drain.
That's,
I mean, this is serious business.
yes. Yeah. And Charlotte did research on this and found out that the reason why we have the spring cleaning tradition in the white race is because it's a holdover of this Passover elimination of the leavened bread.
All of this stuff is our heritage, and we
Amen.
need to take it back and understand who
We
we are.
are. Yes.
We are Israel.
Amen.
The
Amen.
pretenders, the swarthy hook-nosed usurers, murderers, pedophiles that are pretending to be Israel
Yes.
are
Are
just
they?
that. They are the seed of
Exactly.
the Satan. Yet, and you have to understand, the adversary cannot create. The adversary can only pervert what Yahweh has created. He
That's right.
wants to be as the Most High, so he will have his children and their minions mimic in opposition what Yahweh has commanded. He will
Yes.
do a perverted form of the commands,
Yes.
changing days, changing the Hebrew language,
Yes.
taking out his holy name.
Yeah.
All
And
little subtle things that have been hidden that they have done, lead up to this, what we are discussing right now, the deliberate insertion of this false doctrine to confuse true
Yes.
Israel as to when to celebrate the Passover.
Exactly.
It is
Exactly.
not an accident, folks.
Yeah.
It is deliberate.
That's for sure deliberate. Yes. So let me just replay. I haven't even finished the sentence. Let me read the whole sentence and we'll break it down with the errors. The 14th of Nisan, it should be Abib. The 14th of Nisan is the day when the Jews put leavening out of their homes as Yahweh God commanded so they could celebrate the 7 days of unleavened bread. The idea is correct. However, it wasn't the Jews, it was Israel. Okay? And the fact is that the Israelites had to start putting leaven out of their homes well before the Passover. Otherwise, they'd be violating the Passover.
That's
so,
correct.
And this took days, folks. This was not just, it couldn't just be accomplished on preparation day, Abib 14. They had to start finding the leaven and looking into nooks and crannies and get. Now, of course, in those days, you know, they didn't have, it was mainly in their bread products, but it could have been, there could have been crumbs underneath the beds, right?
Well, so, not just that. The preparation day was to prepare the food and get it ready for the next day of Passover, which is a high Shabbat, and you are not to light a fire on the high Shabbat. Uh-huh. You are not to do any servile work. The food must be ready, and you bring it out and set it on the table.
Yes.
You
okay.
don't cook it. You have a little candle underneath the hot
okay.
plate and stuff just to keep the food warm.
Okay. That reminds me, I think somebody in the chat room when we discussed this previously, the idea of roasting a lamb intact with the skin and everything sounded really odd to me. However, the person in the chat room said, well, in South America, people still do that.
The gauchos, yeah.
And apparently what happens is, well, it burns the skin off for one thing. And you can disembowel the lamb, you know, after it's been cooked, which is, you know, sounds really odd to me, but apparently that's the way they still do it. And so that isn't that far-fetched as I thought, okay? But isn't that what Scripture says, that they were to
yes,
roast?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So
that's exactly. They did that with its head and its legs and its entrails. In its inner organs, all they did was cut its throat and hang it by the hind legs and
let
all that blood drain out.
Right.
They'd open a big artery in both of the back legs. It would be comparable to the femoral artery in our groins in humans.
Right.
The femoral artery, and it would let that blood drain and collapse all those blood vessels all the way through the body, and they would have bowls, the great big bowls, to catch the blood underneath that.
Right.
But because they would take the branches of hyssop,
right,
and dip it in the bowls and strike a big blotch of blood on both door posts and over the top of the door, which is called the lintel of the doorway.
Right. Right.
And they had to catch that blood, and whatever blood was left over, they poured out on the ground.
Okay.
Because that's the law.
Okay. So the Israelites followed the law to the letter, to the best
Absolutely.
Of their ability.
Absolutely.
To the best of their
ability.
Because
this is going to be one of the biggest things that Yahweh did for them.
Right. And so Yahweh and Yahshua would follow the law to the letter, I am sure.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay. And that's why we're going through all this, to get this right, folks. All right, so the proper wording of this sentence should be, the 14th of Abib is the day when the Israelites had already put the leaven out of their homes as Yahweh God had commanded so they could celebrate the 7 days of unleavened bread. That would be the correct way of phrasing the sentence. Let's continue.
That's right.
Yes. Yahweh commanded in the first month on the 14th day of the month at evening the ending portion of the day. Compare Leviticus 23:32, and we made mention the first two shows in this series. We proved that it begins at evening, which is sunset. Ye shall eat unleavened bread. Okay, so on the 14th, by the 14th day, which is Passover day, you shall have nothing but unleavened bread in your house, and your house shall have been cleaned of all leaven. Is that not correct?
That is correct. Now, as the day both ends and begins, in an instant, at sundown, they were to hold those lambs until that day. Well, when the sundown came at the twilight,
yes,
it began the next day, and they cut those throats and they let those carcasses drain.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the following, after the carcasses were properly drained, after they'd hung and all the blood drained out, to comply with the law, they roasted them the same day at evening, because when the sun touched that horizon for the last sunlight hit, that began the next day. That would be
the 14th.
The Passover.
Right. So the 13th is the day which virtually all commentators ignore. Abib 13 is the preparation day, and they actually began preparing by removing the leaven from the houses even before. They selected the lambs on Abib 10 and held them in their homes or just outside their homes for that time period, for during the preparation period, right? So that the preparation day was the last day they had to get everything ready. Everything had to be ready for Passover. And that was done on the preparation day, which is not the same as Passover day, which is not the same as the Sabbath. Okay?
That's and correct.
Even the Jews.
And during that time, before the time that they had, they killed them at evening of the preparation day. And then they could cook them because they couldn't cook or do anything when actual Passover hit. They were already cooked. They took them in the house.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so they ate them in haste because the deaths occurred at midnight, and that's after full dark, couple hours after full dark. They had to have their loins girded, in other words, fully dressed. They had their swords and their spears and their shields and their sandals on their feet, ready to march. And they ate in haste, and they had the bitter herbs and all of that that's listed in all the Passover commandments there.
Right.
And they did that probably standing up.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I imagine the children got some sleep, maybe the women, but the men had to gird their loins and get ready to haul out, okay? Military style.
Yeah, well, they went out armed from Mitzrayim after all these deaths occurred.
Right, yeah, the deaths of the Egyptians.
Then the Pharaoh issued his order, get these people out of my land. They're killing us.
Right.
And they'd got all the jewelry and everything and plundered the Egyptians. And it took a long time to get this huge amount of people out of the country. They lined up and they marched by their houses. The house of Reuben went first because he was the firstborn of Israel. And it gives you the order of birth of the tribes of Israel, and they went in that order.
Yes. But here, I'm amazed at the confusion that these people, they still don't get it. He says, thus the leavening had to be put out on the 14th day of the month, as the 15th was the first day of the festival. Yes, the 15th was the Sabbath, which was the literal Feast of Unleavened Bread. But they couldn't have any leaven around. It had to be gotten rid of before the 14th by the preparation day, which is they don't
That's
get
right.
it. Okay.
And they ate unleavened bread at the Passover.
Yes.
They were to have no leaven. They had to throw it all out.
So
and the reason is they didn't have the time to bake a full loaf of bread,
right?
Then let it rise.
Yeah, so even these guys who claim to be experts don't even understand that the yeast had to be gone by the preparation day before Passover had to be gone. How are you going to, if you're cleaning out the leaven on the day of Passover, then it's still around on Passover. That's forbidden.
Well, you have to have it out for Passover, and then you have to have 7 days.
Yes. Yeah. And you keep on eating.
Which makes a total of the eight days.
Exactly.
You got Passover.
Yes.
And Passover is not the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It is separate.
Yes.
It precedes
Unleavened
Bread, during which you've got the wave sheaf offering.
Right, the very next day.
In the middle of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. There's another holy day.
Right. All right, let's continue. What then was the 14th of Nisan? In Exodus 12:6, we read that on the 14th of Nisan, the children of Israel were to slay the Passover lambs, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Now, here's a contradiction. And you shall keep it until the 14th day. That's the day, that's the Passover day. That's the day we were supposed to eat it. Okay? So again, they're disregarding the preparation.
That's right.
They're still disregarding the preparation. How is it possible?
They keep it because at that twilight of the 13th, instantly began the 14th, and they cut the throats right then at twilight.
Yeah. Okay. So, preparation day, next heading. In the Gospel of John, the 14th of Nisan is plainly called by the Gospel writer the preparation of the Passover. Now, it's interesting, and I think here is the result of the confusion. It's because the Jews practice it this way, that the hope of Israel people following Jewish tradition, which confuses the 14th of Abib and the 15th of Abib, they combine them together into one day. And we found out that when Charlotte and I did our research on the actual day of Passover, April 3rd, 33 AD, that the new moon was March 17th that year, which was more than 2 weeks before the Passover, so that that new moon certainly does not qualify. But what the Jews do is they make demand that their Sabbath is on a Saturday. But if the new moon is on March 17th, there's no way that the you can have a Saturday being the Sabbath. The Sabbath must occur, even according to their own calculations, must occur the 1st, 8th, 15th. So actually, the way they figure it, it's more like the 17th or 18th because they demanded it's on a Saturday. So we see that there's at least one false calendar in operation during the days of Christ, and it would be Christ who was actually going by the proper chronology and the Jews having their made-up chronology. All right,
another reason why they hated him so badly.
That's right. So in the Gospel of John, the 14th of Nisan is plainly called by the Gospel writer the preparation of the Passover. However, John calls it the Jews' Passover. Okay, which distinguishes it from the real Passover
of Israel,
which Yahshua celebrated. Okay. So the next morning after the final supper Yeshua had with his disciples, after the Jews had apprehended Yeshua and interrogated him early that morning, they led him to the hall of judgment to be judged by Pontius Pilate, Roman governor. The Jews themselves, however, would not go into the Roman judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but they might eat the Passover. Clearly Passover had not yet come. All right, so for the Jews it had not yet come, because they were practicing it on the wrong day.
Well, he says here in this article that John the Apostle does not refer to this as the Jews' Passover.
Yeah,
John was an Israelite.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
John said there was only one Passover.
Yes. Okay.
And what did Yeshua do in the temple? He refuted their teachings and reviled them for bringing in their Babylonianism. And I said earlier in the show that the seed of the serpent can't create either. They only pervert what Yahweh has created. And here they're perverting the Passover.
Right.
And the Passover was not for them anyway.
Yes.
So what difference does it make what they do?
Right.
None of this has anything to do with the Jews. It only has to do with Israel.
Right, right.
Now, they are pretending to be Israel and perverting what Israel's supposed to do following their father's modus operandi. Their father is the devil.
Yes. Next
Very
sentence.
Simple.
Right. Further, in John 19, after Yahshua had been scourged and whipped and beaten and was brought again before Pilate, Pilate sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover. Now, of course, this was the preparation day of the Jews. Okay? So it was not yet the Passover as the Jews reckoned it.
That's right.
Okay? So there's a difference in days. There's a one-day difference between the calendars. After Yeshua was crucified and died, John 19:25-30, late in the afternoon on the 14th day of Nisan, at the very same moment that the Jews were slaying thousands of Passover lambs at the temple of Jehovah God, thus perfectly fulfilling the Passover type, we find that the Jews who killed him wanted to get the bodies of Yeshua and the two criminals who were being killed with him off the tree quickly before sunset, so they would not remain there on the high Sabbath day of the first day of unleavened bread. We read, quote, "The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was both weekly Sabbath and an annual feast or high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and they might be taken away." John 19:31. So again, the fact that they're bringing up the preparation day, now for true Israel, the preparation day is Abib 13, okay?
That's correct.
Not the 14th. And so they're still getting these
correct.
Confused because they're going by Jewish reckoning, okay?
That's right.
So, okay, so the preparation day is Abib 13. The actual Passover is Abib 14, okay? So, in other words, Yahshua was actually sacrificed on the correct day, on Yahweh's Passover, okay?
Correct.
With the following day being Yahweh's Sabbath, high Sabbath of the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
That's right.
Okay? And then on the 16th, which was the day, the morning after the Sabbath, that is the Wave Sheaf Day, also known as Resurrection Day. So we see that Yahweh...
He is the first fruits of the rising of the dead. The first fruits of the resurrection is Yeshua.
Yes. So as long as we understand the commandments from Leviticus chapter 23 and the fact that Yahshua fulfilled this sacrifice to the letter, exactly the same way it was practiced by the Israelites, not by the Jews, folks, but by the Israelites. He practiced it the correct way, and everybody else is doing it wrong.
Now you got Passover, High Sabbath, First Day of Unleavened Bread, High Sabbath, Wave Sheaf, or Resurrection Day, another Sabbath. That's the Feast of First Fruits. You got three feast days.
Right.
Boom, boom, boom.
Right. And first fruits is wave sheaf, which represents Yahshua's resurrection.
That's so, right.
Now, the Catholic Church tries to condense all of these things into 2 days because they have what's called, they call Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and then Sunday is Resurrection Day, okay, or what I guess they call it Ascension. It's been a while since I've been involved in Catholic doctrine. But that's not 3 days. That's right. That's not, yeah. The Yahshua said after 3 days, okay, and fulfilling the sign of Jonah, who was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. So they're only counting like 2 days here. Okay, trying to, so in reality, if we go by named dates, okay, Friday evening sunset to Saturday sunset is 1 day. Saturday sunset to Sunday sunset is 2 days. Sunday sunset to Monday sunset is 3 days. You can't get around including that Monday. You must count all 3 days. But the Catholics don't do that. Okay? Which proves that their tradition is wrong as well. Okay?
Well, the Pope issued an edict, one and one and one is two.
Yes. I missed that one, but apparently that is the case. But finally they get around, you know, the discussion of preparation day is crucial here, and they finally get around to discussing it here. In Matthew we also read, and it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, Matthew 26:1-2. That means this was about Nisan 13, okay?
Mm-hmm. They're wrong there. Nisan 12.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Their reckoning is wrong because they're following the Jewish calendar. But in the Hebrew reckoning, Nisan or Abib 13 is the preparation day. That's the preparation day. Okay. So that the Passover meal could be had on the actual Passover day, Abib 14. They continue. The account goes on to show that the next day the priests conspire to capture Yeshua. Yeshua abode in Bethany. A woman came and anointed him with expensive ointment. And Judas went to the chief priests and offered to betray Yeshua to them. And this is where I contend and several others contend. That's when the actual passion began, because he was a captive. He was arrested by the Edomite Jews, and that's when his actual passion began, thus beginning the symbolism of Jonah being swallowed by the whale and being in a period of darkness, okay?
That's right.
Right, okay. So this took up the whole day of Nisan 13. 1 day had now passed, so Nisan 13 is the preparation day, not the Passover. And this is, they always get these days mixed up. It is still one whole day before. Now, here again, there's confusion. The next day is the Passover, and the following day is the Sabbath of the feast, first Sabbath of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And unfortunately, even in the Gospels, the terminology, because it became common practice in those days for the Israelites to refer to all 8 days, including the Passover day, as the Passover, okay, rather than just the 1 day, Abib 14, as the Passover, they started referring to the entire 8 day feast as Passover, okay. So this is another source of confusion. It just became a convention to speak of it that way, okay. Correct, isn't it?
Yes, that has been a tradition that has been passed on.
Right.
But in actuality, it's two separate events.
Right, it is.
The Passover and the itself and the inability of the Israelites to make bread and let it rise and then bake it means that they would make unleavened bread because they had to make it and eat it in haste to leave Mitzrayim, and the tradition should carry on with that. But yes. Then you shall eat unleavened bread for 7 days, and will make a total festival of 8 days, and they call the last day of unleavened bread the eighth great day.
Yes. Yes.
Eighth great day.
Yes. So the fact is that it was the Jews' preparation day, because they weren't concerned about trying him, which was also a violation of the law, at night, okay? But they were actually fulfilling Yahweh's plan to have our Pasha slain on their preparation day, right? Their preparation day, which is our Passover. The true Passover. So they were following Yahweh's laws without realizing it. Okay, this is the point that I want to make. They were actually preparing the Passover on the correct day, whether they realized it or not. Okay?
Yes.
All right. That's the only point I wanted to make about this scenario here. All right. Now, again, this article confuses Nisan 14 as a preparation day, but I think the confusion is because they're following the Jewish tradition. All right. One quotation here. Let me quote these two paragraphs here. What does all this tell us? This fact plainly shows us that there is no contradiction between the synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke with the account of John. They are all in agreement, all in accord, that the Passover was not yet. See John 13:1 and various verses. Review these scriptures. Don't take these things for granted. Don't be lazy or in a hurry. Your very salvation deserves the attention and full concentration of your mind upon these things. Now let me ask you a question. If, as some claim, that this meal was the actual Passover at the beginning of Nisan 14, doesn't it seem passing strange, weird, that the disciples would come to the Messiah and ask him where they should prepare for the Passover?
Mm-hmm.
Just bare minutes or an hour or so before Passover. If Passover is at the beginning of Nisan 14, where is the preparation day? Wouldn't it be the 13th of Nisan? Yes, it would, wouldn't it?
That's correct.
Right. Okay. So, yet every scripture calls Nisan 14 the preparation day. That's because it was the Jews' preparation day. All right. But in actual fact, Abib 13 is the preparation day, going back to Leviticus 23. All right. So the confusion is caused by the fact that there is more than one calendar being practiced at this time. And that's the proper explanation for why there is all this confusion. And that's how...
And the translators only had access to that one calendar, which is the Jewish calendar, especially
right.
The Masoretes. They wanted to change things anyway to go about by Talmudic law. So they've changed so much other stuff, they changed the numbering here. But we have mathematical systems and we can figure it out.
Yes.
Then most people, they couldn't do complicated mathematics. They couldn't even read.
Right. The vast majority of them, yes.
So... it was easy to fool them. Then the Catholic Church wouldn't allow anyone to have a Bible except a priest. And it was in a language nobody else could read. And they kept the people ignorant during the Dark Ages. Well, now we have the infiltrated seminary schools, infiltrated with the Edomites, as the priesthood was back then. And they've bamboozled and beguiled all these pastors going out, and they believe their lies, and they're teaching it to their congregations, and they're reestablishing a new tradition.
Yes.
To pervert the actual date. And we and only a few others are the ones that are promoting the actual math-based preparation day, Passover, unleavened bread, wave sheaf, theology here. Right. We're the only ones that are really putting it out, really. There are a few others.
Yes, right. Now, in the final set, we only have about 4 minutes left. The very words of Messiah, that the typology had to be correct. And there's no doubt that, and they're correct in stating this, the typology had to be fulfilled to the letter. Yes. And now in Wars of the Judahites, or the Judeans, properly translated, Wars of the Judeans, by Josephus, who he was not a Pharisee. He took training from the Pharisees just to find out what they teach. He did not stay a Pharisee. Again, they don't do their total research. Josephus, who was once upon a time a Pharisee, also acknowledges that they celebrated Passover by killing the lambs in the afternoon. Well, from between 3 and 5 o'clock, he writes, the Passover, when they slay their sacrifices from the 9th hour to the 11th hour, 3 to 5 p.m. Roman time, but so that a company of not less than 10 belonged to every sacrifice. The number of sacrifices was 256,500. So he's actually talking about the preparation day, because the animals had to be ready, and they had to prepare on the preparation day of Abib 13.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a math deal again.
Right, it's a math deal, and so because of all this confusion, and I was just reading a Catholic that they believe the Passover carries over from the 14th to the 15th. Well, it can't. It can't. It has to be on a single day, evening to evening, Abib 14. That's what the Bible says.
That's absolutely correct.
Okay. All right. So I think we have demonstrated that the real cause of all the confusion is that there was at least two different calendars being practiced. And in my opinion, the Synoptic Gospels are referring to one of those Passovers, and the other, and I think John is more or less referring to the correct Passover, Yahweh's Passover. All right, and that's why there's a confusion. That's why all the commentators have thought that the New Testament contradicts itself. No, they're referring to the reason why there's more than one Passover on different days is because there were at least two different calendars in existence in those days.
And there still are. Jewish calendar, we've got the Gregorian calendar, and we've got Yahweh's solar calendar that we use.
Yes, right.
We're going to have to do more on this particular article. We haven't done it justice yet.
Yeah,
there's a lot more information in here.
Yeah, okay. So we can pick it up next week in addition to other information that we have ready on this. So this is the True Passover Part 1, or Yahweh's Passover Fulfilled Part 1, and we'll continue with Part 2 next week. All right, folks?
It's tremendously important that we get this right.
Yeah.
It really is. This is a high holy day established by Yahweh for us, and we should do it honor in the proper manner.
Yeah, to the best of our ability, folks.
Yes.
All right.
Study to show yourself approved.
Amen. All right, folks, thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh. See you next time.
Shalom Aleichem.
Shalom.
Messiah.